You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In 2018, the Child Poverty Act was passed by the Prime Minister. It requires Statistics New Zealand to report on a set of measures each year, measures such as material hardship. The Act followed the 2017 Working for Families package, which included winter energy payments, payments for families with newborns, and tax credit increases. StatsNZ's data released this week has shown that since 2017, there has been, quote, no significant change. I spoke to Children's Commissioner Andrew Beecroft about the news, and I started by asking if this was expected for him.
Oh, I guess everybody in New Zealand was hopeful. Everybody was looking for some positives, but actually we didn't see it. Mind you, it's no worse, no better. You couldn't say it's a pass or a fail. And the real problem is the stats are 18 months old. So we haven't yet got a good reading on what's happening now.
Okay.
And that's a frustration. And frankly, you'd think in a computer-driven Western world, up-to-date country, we'd better get the stats out faster. And it's enormously frustrating.
Sure. If the stats that had just come out were to reflect what's happening right now as opposed to 18 months ago, do you think they'd say something different?
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic they would. We've had things like the best start for every baby born payment, winter energy payments, change in families' packages, some boosts. I think we would see a change. I don't think we'd see a massive change, but we'd start to see the arrows and the graphs coming down, and we'd see that we are beginning the journey for the 10-year goal of halving child poverty.
So do you think that this government is going to change their approach in any way given this new data?
My own view is to really hit child poverty hard, we need some bold and courageous decisions regarding benefits. Now, people hear that and think, oh, it's just giving money out. What I'm saying is, for 30 years, great damage was done. Way back from the 1991 mother of all budgets, where some of your listeners probably weren't even alive, budgets, I mean, benefits were slashed by 40 or 50%. And we've never really, since then, kept pace with wages and economic growth. The economy's done really well, doubled, really, the gross domestic product. Wages have gone up, but benefits haven't kept pace. So they're way out of whack. What we're saying is spend now, and we've got a surplus, and it is a rainy day for children, spend now and get benefits up to proper levels. That's what we need. What has happened, which is great, is that from now on, benefits are linked to wages. Now, that's a big step, and there's a 3% increase coming in April just to reflect wage growth, and it's compounding increases every year. And it's fantastic, but the next step is to get them up to proper levels.
So, as you, obviously it is an election year, it's a good opportunity to campaign getting them up to that level, as you say. Will this data be a good basis for you guys to use as you campaign?
Absolutely. In fact, I think all of New Zealand is waking up to the fact that for 30 years we were asleep on the wheel, or asleep at the wheel. As New Zealanders, I think one thing we should be really pushing the government on, and their own welfare expert advisory group said it, we should be saying lift benefits. I mean, the advisory group said benefits should go up between 7 to 47%, depending on the benefit. I think we need a 20% increase straight away for those benefits that advantage children. And we could do that instantly. Be great. I mean, we need to build better and more housing, state housing in particular. That can't be done instantly, but benefit increases could.
Yeah.
And I think in election year, that's something this coalition government has got to bite the bullet on. Mind you, no other government did it in the past of all shapes and sizes and colours. I mean, for 30 years, nothing much happened. But we've got the opportunity now and we should do it.
So let's say that the economic side of this issue is to make sure that the human-based policies that come out of our new fiscal landscape, which, as you say, over the last 30 years have caused most of these issues. One cultural aspect that can't be neglected is the fact that 1 in 10 Pākehā children live in hardship, while 1 in 4 Māori children live in hardship. So do you see the failure of, you know, policy over the 30 years as a consequence of emphasising Pākehā knowledge bases in our approach to poverty reduction?
Yeah, that's a really deep and insightful question, if I might say. Not only were we asleep at the wheel generally as a country, not only did we realise that economic growth was on the backs of, on the back really of our most impoverished children, the disproportionality, the inequity for Māori children in terms of poverty is miles worse than I had actually realised. I mean, I knew there was a disproportionality, but 1 in 10 versus 1 in 4, that really is a damning indictment on our country. And I think in the general policy failure in children as a whole, yes, I think probably you could make a good argument that we've dropped the ball in terms of specific policy for Māori children.
Mm.
And you see, this debate about child poverty isn't a debate in a vacuum. It's not a debate about stats and other stats going up or down. So about 150,000 children, this is a matter of real life. It's a matter of two pairs of shoes, a raincoat, good healthy meals, living in well-heated, non-mouldy homes. They're real issues, and the tentacles, as it were, of child poverty reach out into all areas of a child's life, but we're seeing disproportionately far more for Māori. And if we could get a, if we could get this right, then there's every reason to believe that so too the disproportionality in health, things like rheumatic fever, an educational achievement or lack of it, or involvement in the criminal justice system, all those things would come down too. This is why the debate's so important. I mean, it has real-life consequences. We've got to get it right. And lost in the debate until now has been how much more unfair it's been for Māori.
Mm.
So I agree with you on that.
What will you guys do to start boosting that fact?
Well, you know, that we've ever had a survey big enough, 20,000 door knocks, to have any statistical reliability about Māori. So I think it's hit us all pretty hard and pretty fair and square about how big the inequality is. So number one is we've got the data. Number two, we've got to be talking about it.
Yeah.
It's here. Number three, I think we've got to think about how we can better target those 1 in 4 Māori children who are in actual material disadvantage. I think it will need that because they're overrepresented in all the stats regarding poverty. I mean, can we fix it? We can. Done that for the elderly in the 90s. That's the blueprint for what we need to do for children. I mean, we've got the money. We could do it if we wanted to. If children had a voice and a vote like the senior community in New Zealand, that we wouldn't be in this position, I'll tell you.
Mm.
Around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
That was Children Commissioner Andrew Beecroft. I also spoke to Jackie Clark from the Aunties and asked for her response.
Lack of surprise completely.
Yeah.
Lack of surprise completely. Until the government does what it needs to do, which is significantly raise benefit levels and not by $10 a week, the Aunties' official position is nothing will change.
Yeah. And what's your level of faith in this government? Do you think they'll change their policy to actually have real impact, or?
Do I have faith in them? It's a generational thing. It's taken us 25 to 30 years to get to this disgusting place. You know, and it's not going to change overnight. But I think it just requires intense amounts of political will. They have to see. They know what to do. There's been report after report after report. They know what to do. You know, that they've been told what to do time after time after time after time.
Mm.
And it's like children dying. NOT, they've been told time after time how the shit's prevented, but nobody wants to do it.
Yeah.
nobody, because it's seen as too hard, or I don't know why they won't do it, but they just won't. Do I have faith in them that they will do it, or that they'll... I think we've started, but we're just at the very nascence of what we need to do, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to avoid your question about faith.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't have faith in any government currently, because I haven't seen anybody but the Greens pushing really hard for this stuff.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, it is a holistic issue, because, not to bring up the old cliche again, but it is an out of sight, out of mind issue for that stands in the way in a lot of ways.
Yep.
So
it
will come down to mainstream media starting to report it in ways that isn't so isolating for vulnerable groups.
And othering.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think it's really important that the mainstream media, you know, there's a lot of blame still put on parents.
Yeah.
Some people have $20 left after rent and food. What do you do with that? You know, and sustained periods of economic poverty. And we're talking generational here.
Yeah.
Leads to spiritual poverty. And that's the fucking killer.
Yeah.
Because poverty is not seem to be linked to, when they do the poverty data, it's not linked. I mean, there are some links to emotional well-being. But when it's generational, that shit sticks, and it sticks hard, and it takes a long, long, long time to do anything about.
Mm.
The only thing that's going to make lives better, ameliorate people's lives, really, in my opinion, is raising the benefit level. Not that all the women that I work with are on a benefit, but certainly most of them still are. And because they can't find work, because they don't have confidence. You know, this is a whole multi-layered thing. You know, it's just like this guy and find a job. Well, that's not simple. So when you're dealing with people who have PTSD and anxiety levels that are terrifyingly high at a lot of the day. So I think the benefit, raising the benefit levels is that. And I also think the low-wage economy, we have to start looking at how employers, how much people are being paid.
Yeah.
You know, so raising the minimum wage, looking at raising wages above the board, and raising the benefits substantially.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
That was Jackie Clark from the Aunties, and before that we did have Andrew Beecroft. I've got a text in. This texter says, drop the ball, ? At what point was the ball being held? I wish for some acknowledgement of the purposeful and ill effects for Māori of colonisation. That was in response to Andrew Beecroft. Tōtoko. We'll be back after this. This is Texas Sun by Kwang Bing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.